Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it must have been quite a sight. The people lining the road that led to the Mount of Olives, down and then up into the city of Jerusalem. People were scrambling to get a glimpse of the man who they heard about, but maybe never got a chance to actually see themselves. This wasn't the first time that Jesus had been welcomed by people lining the streets or drew such a large crowd. Throughout the last 3 years, Jesus regularly had thousands of who would come to hear him preach and teach. Remember the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Crowds would wait in line. The roads were when they heard Jesus was coming to their town. So maybe this day, described by Matthew, which we call Palm Sunday, wasn't quite as unique as we think. In fact, it probably wasn't even the largest or maybe even the loudest crowd that Jesus had experienced. But there was something different about that day, something different about the atmosphere, something different about the actions and the message of the people. They had cut down palm branches and used their cloaks to line the roadway, something that was reserved only for the arrival of a king or a head of state. Suddenly the crowds were not afraid to be publicly proclaimed who they believed or wanted Jesus to be. They cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now Jesus' triumphant entry happened during the Passover feast in Jerusalem, when the Roman soldiers were keeping a close watch for even a hint, just a hint, of rebel activity against the Roman Empire. If word got back to government officials, what these people were saying, there was that there was a new king in town. This could get rather ugly, very quick. It could even end up in executions. But the crowds, they didn't care. The cries of the crowd would not be contained. Hosanna, which means save us, continued to come from the people. But what did they want? What did they want Jesus to save them from? What did they actually want Jesus to do? How many of them simply looked to Jesus to save them from some problems of their lives? Most wanted to be saved from the oppression of the Roman Empire and from taxes. They cried out to Jesus, "Save us, save us." Jesus cares about the people, and he cares about the things that you are going through in your life. God invites us and promises us to call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Yes, the Lord sees and is concerned about your struggles, your sadness, your fears, the problems that you face. He is interested in you and wants to help you. Just look at Jesus' life and ministry. Jesus was interested in people. He was involved in their lives and their problems. His miracles revived people suffering and removed limitations which allowed them to enjoy life more fully. Yes, Jesus can, and more often than we probably give him credit for, does save us from our problems, take away our pains, and give us strength to endure. But if that's all that we're looking for Jesus to do, then like many in that Palm Sunday crowd, we're also missed the man who was riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. They missed who he truly was. If Jesus is only someone to save us from from our problems in this life and make us comfortable for now, then Jesus isn't much of a Savior at all. He's just whining and dining us during this life, while knowing that when it comes to an end, we will be lost forever, separated from Him for an eternity in hell. But at least He gave us a good time while it lasted, right? No, Jesus wants more for us. Jesus did not just want for a while. Jesus wanted for forever. Jesus did not just want to be comfortable or to know joy or happiness for a while. He wants you to know it without end. While those things are always temporary in this world, Jesus wanted you to have them permanently. What would that take? What would that take? It would take Palm Sunday. It would take the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of all things, and everyone coming into this world and taking our place. Jesus goes to Jerusalem for you and me. Jesus goes to Jerusalem fully knowing that what is waiting for Him there and what would happen to Him over the next week. He saw that hatred, betrayal, desertion, arrest, suffering, crucifixion, and death. Jesus goes to Jerusalem to offer His perfect life in the place of imperfect people. People like us. People who have at times manipulated Jesus into the type of Savior we want Him to be instead of the Savior we need Him to be. Jesus goes to Jerusalem for people like us who have robbed him who he is, robbed Him for us. We wanted a Savior, but we've robbed Him His glory. For us, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to sacrifice His life at the cross as a payment for our eternal life with Him. Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die. So when our life comes to an end, it will not be the end, you see, but the beginning. The beginning of perfection and joy and happiness, peace and healing that will have no end. You might be familiar with this text from Revelation 21:4. God wiped every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what Jesus came to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday for. That's what Jesus is saying to you and saving for you. That's what the empty tomb of Easter morning assures us that is waiting for us at the end of this life. A perfect life that has no end. Palm Sunday points us to a Savior who rode into Jerusalem to save us. To save us not just for a while or for a little bit from our hardships of this life, but to save us forever. And so we continue to call out with confidence and praise to Jesus, "Hosanna, save us," knowing that He already has. That's why He came to Jerusalem, to save us from sin and to save us for heaven's never-ending glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.